I don't know. All right, so folks, don't forget winesolomedia.com. But also don't forget, folks on the Facebook Live, you can see the video. Folks on the podcast audio, you can hear what the frack I'm saying. And remember, FallonKitty.com, you can get these physical books. Support that black writer, a sapiosexual, Brianna Monet. And by Octavia Davis, Davis, the one from the one taken from the Sea of Stars. Phoenix Cleader is more heavy on the book reading than I am.
Yes.
And so I got Phoenix Cleader these books. You like to read books, or you know somebody likes to read books? Get these books from these writers.
Yes.
All right, winesolomedia.com. This, that, and or the other.
Now, sisters and brothers, we know we got over by the blood, the sweat, and the tears of sheroes and heroes, some whose names we know and some whose names we do not know. But I'm going to tell you something. We have been here before. Now, the only difference is we got some company, Rev. We got our gay lesbian sisters and brothers with us this time. We got our Hispanic, Asian, Native American sisters and brothers with us this time. I think Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King said we may not have gotten here on the same ship, but we are in the same boat right now.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
All right, Father Teresa's Wine Cellar. Father Teresa, the greatest black atheist, also known as William J. Jackson, black ass motherfucker, also known as Dark Skin Nigglesworth. Over here with Phoenix Kaleeder, the uppity negress. Follow on the Twitters, uppity negress, two P's, two T's, two S's on the Twitters. You know, we don't. I wish we had time to do the fucking show prep for it. Imani Gandhi is about to hustle the left hard.
I would like to think that the left is informed enough that that's not actually going to happen.
Nah, Imani Gandhi's about to hustle the left hard, and Anoa Changer is the vehicle with which that shall be done.
Yeah, I still need to go through that whole Twitter exchange and see. I saw people being upset. I need to get the tea, as
play the
it
podcast.
Were.
You gotta just play the episode.
That too. How it was like an hour?
Like 45 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
I got 25 minutes in. There were a few minutes left. it's slick, man. It's real slick. So Imani Gandhi is about to fucking hustle the left. And I mean, it's great timing, right? Because like Elon James White just made himself look like a buster. Imani Gandhi can ride the identity politics that has already been the hustle anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's really good at fake outrage.
That's what she's all about. And that's something I noticed, because like when I was listening to the podcast episode, they kept talking about the Twitter shit. I'm telling you, it's so much different hearing a person's voice than fucking reading and imagining what they sound like. And I heard them on the This Week in Blackness program just shitting on the low. When they do it verbally, vocally, telling you, I think there's a harder impact than just reading it. And Imani was on there lying her ass off. Mm-hmm. And there's great cover for the lie, because the way Elon has that RSS feed set up for This Week in Blackness is episodes expire.
Yeah.
So the shit disappears. So they can make up whatever, they can rewrite the fuck out of that history as they should, as they please.
Right. And I think that that's going to be the next thing with Imani is starting to screen cap a lot more of her tweets. Because even in her Twitter, she's really, really good at shitting on the left, shitting on poor people, accusing anybody who happens to be, you know, better at the oppression Olympics, if you will, than her, accusing them of being fake or being a coon or, you know, it's really a white man, you know, on the keyboard. So I think that's going to be the next thing, because she basically sidestepped that whole thing. We covered it before about the article that said something like Trump voters are sad their jobs aren't coming back, but the actual article was like black steel workers who all voted for Hillary and their union voted for Hillary. And she was like, I don't give a fuck about these people. And I was like, okay. Yeah, that's cool. Like, you should have maybe read the article first.
Will the real Slim Gandhi please stand up? Please stand up.
And I apologize, y'all. I'm still getting over whatever this is, so I'm going to be coughing in your ears. Sorry.
All right, so it's Free Thought Thursday.
Yes.
So, sort of free-flowing with it. And with the free-flowing with it, where better to go than to wife school?
Where better to go?
So, Roe L. I always shorten it to L, but it's Roe Ellory Cutno. 12 points here, all right? Marriage is a full-time project and a lifelong investment. It will fail if... And then here come the 12 points, all right? It will fail if, one, you are part-time at this full-time job, all right? Again, marriage is be a full-time jizzob. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Full-time, clock in, clock out, overtime hours. No sick day pay, motherfucker. Number two, you watch too much media or video games. Like the Wife School Huckster's YouTube channel.
Cough. Cough.
Right. fucking three. Remember, you will fail if you don't do these 12 things. Three. You live in or are from the western half of Earth and haven't completed Wife School or the Husband Summit.
The Husband Summit?
Yeah. You gotta get that man money too. The man dollar's a good dollar.
I just picture a bunch of men standing on each other's shoulders, like building a pyramid. And there's like one at the top.
The husband summit. Fucking. Four, you try to operate your marriage as the other Americans do. But aren't the other Americans, didn't they also go to wife school?
They did.
Figure this also, one out, bro.
Also, point out how one of her earlier things was that the problem is African-American women in particular. White women have it together. So, I mean, theoretically, we should be able to behave like white wives and be okay.
Ah. All right.
But, you know, fuck consistency. Who needs it?
Number five. This one is very pointed. You disrespect your husband to the point of no return. You PNR'd it.
Like, does he, like, give you, like, cards or something? Or is there, like, a point system?
A demerit system.
And then eventually you get expelled? Is that the idea?
Huh, expelled? I wonder if there's suspension first. Suspended with pay, because it is a full-time
it
job.
It is a full-time job, suspended with pay. And then suspended without pay.
And there's that Negro colored man, Michael Pratt.
Hello.
My favorite Negro couple said, we love wife school. And he also said, so how did all those people with successful marriages make it before wife school and the husband summit?
They didn't, obviously.
Yeah. You look at Barry Hussein and Michelle Obama. They fucking hate each other.
They do.
All the time, yes. In the face. Yes. Look at Bernie and Jane Sanders.
Yes.
They're in their 70s now, but they'll get divorced in their 80s. You watch.
You wait and see.
You watch. But Bernie's on like his last three strands of hair, and she ain't having it. She ain't fucking having it. God damn it. Okay, what, George Herbert Walker Bush and I can't remember, is it Barbara?
Barbara.
And Barbara, watch, again, another one's where, and when they're in their 90s, Watch, he's gonna be like, I'm tired of the multicolored socks. And she gonna be like, you colored again? Get out of my house. Get out of my house. You already banned broccoli from the White House. Now you're getting out this white woman's house.
There you go.
And I tell you what.
True story.
All fucking failure after yes. fucking failure.
We need to follow up. I think someone covertly joined her group and is on her friends list, right?
Gia.
Yeah, I gotta follow up with that. I wanna know what's happening. Like, send me some screenshots, please.
Yes, they can fucking see the friends only shit. She has more fucking number dooba doop skip bop booba da doo 6. You ignore your wife to the point of no return.
Oh, all right.
So don't disrespect him. Don't ignore her. These sound like good things, right, on the face.
Right.
But then it's like you have to read more. It's always like go beyond the headline. Like the right. one where I was just trying to tell niggas about this one because it's the one where people are like, so now trans age is a thing.
Uh-huh.
And it has the man that's like has a like a bow in his hair.
Yeah,
and like, but it's actually something from his therapist.
Yeah, it like the way because it got framed originally by like Breitbart, and they were like, oh, he left his family, and he's like a whatever a 50-year-old man, and he's living as like a 7-year-old girl now. This person dresses up like that for therapy because they had like this really abusive childhood and so on. But anyway, the point being, they're not literally living as a 7-year-old child. Or whatever it was that, you know, the right-wing outlet said. Although what concerns me about this list is, so you can't ignore her, but you can't disrespect him. That is not equality, my friends. Because I can disrespect the fuck out of you while paying attention to you. I can nag the shit out of you while I'm paying attention to you. Can't say I've never ignored you. Doesn't mean I'm being emotionally supportive.
I mean, and in the colloquialism of the word, I'm the nag here, really. Like, I'm the backseat driver. Like, when it comes to chores, I'm like, no, just get out of my way. I do it right. You do it wrong.
You literally told me to go watch a football game.
Yeah, just go watch. Yeah. Because she was not doing the chores the way I do them. So I was like, I'm taking over. I do the best chores. Go watch, and said told her, and football was on that. It was a Sunday.
Mm.
Go watch football. go watch your football with your boys.
Mm-hmm.
Which you actually, they mm-hmm. were both in the house at that day. So yeah, go kick it with your boys and watch the foosball.
Yes, yes.
While I do my the best chores.
The best chores.
There's more.
There's always more.
Number goddamn 7. Siete. You put your children ahead of the marriage at all.
At all. God forbid the children who can't feed themselves, clothe themselves, cook their own food, do not have all the words to verbalize what they need, be put before a grown-ass man.
I mean, well, you saw what happened. Look at how many times Donald Trump has been divorced because his wives didn't worry about teaching him how to read first. They should have taught him how to read first, goddammit.
That's entirely possible.
Oh, fun things are happening.
And then, of course, then my thing is, like, if I was going to think about this strictly pragmatically, you would always put the kids first because you can always stay with the kids after your husband dies. You're going to yep. outlive his ass anyway.
And you want kids that appreciate that you did that.
Yeah, you don't want them to leave you in some fucking, like, horrible-ass nursing home. Like, hey... Remember all those times that you made us wait till he was done eating before you'd give us a plate?
Ugh.
Enjoy the nursing home, Mom.
8, which is also Ocho. You stop having enough sex.
What does enough mean?
There's no number to that, right? Wait, she does. I forgot, man. Because
she actually has a number.
I saved so many of her lists, but they never make it to show prep because it's just too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, she actually does have and she calls it like energetic sex, like 4 to 5 times a week, some shit like that.
Who the fuck has time for that?
Certified wives, because they don't have to go to work, and then when the certified husband gets home from work, his needs should be met.
I'm also concerned that she calls it energetic. So you got to be like really into it, like doing gymnastics and shit.
Fake it. No, it's just fake the energy. Because I mean, what if he ain't all that?
Well, if you told him, that would disrespect him. So
all right,
fake it till you make it.
To the point of no return.
Woo.
What is it? Nine. Nueve? Nueve? There's all sorts of ways to pronouncify that. The wife loses her femininity. Which is performed, of course.
What does that mean?
That like, means, like, fucking, like, you sat down on the couch and it kind of fell out of your pocket and got stuck in the cushions under, like, fucking, like, popcorn and nickels and shit.
But if it's in the cushions, it should be really easy to reclaim it.
But it's lost. You don't know. You're looking
in
the
fuck. Oh, like, you don't even know where it is. You're sock drawer. The fuck? Did I put it? Like,
lost your femininity.
It's no good.
It's just ridiculous.
You should just wear it around your wrist or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, get one of those wallet keychains for your femininity, all right?
I'm very feminine. I do, in fact, have a wallet keychain.
Yeah.
Funny, that I wear with my cargo pants.
And you have these masculine things, but you are, like, cartoonishly high femme.
What? No, I'm not.
Yeah, big time. Bigly.
Bigly.
10, Diaz. The husband loses his masculinity. Again.
Did you lose yours on the couch, too?
Nah. Actually, you saw where fucking I lost my masculinity under the fucking recliner chair. I fucking have a work key that's for, because we work in the packaging industry, and I have a work key for barcoded products, and I lost it, what, like 2 months ago or some shit?
Yeah.
And it's just been under the fucking, recliner chair the whole time.
Yep.
Like, just motherfucker. And Phoenix is not well. I guess you sleep better in that chair?
Yeah, because I can't lay down flat, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, so yeah, so she sleeps. So she pulled the chair out, and she was like, there's your fucking key, fuckface.
I did not say that.
And they already issued me another one, so now I just have two, and I'm not telling anybody. Fuck them.
Aw.
Hey, what are you gonna do?
Wait, wasn't that somebody else's key?
Yeah, but he's not a machine worker.
Oh, so he doesn't need it anyways.
No.
Okay.
Like, maybe he was years ago and he just had it, but, like, he's not anymore. He doesn't need that shit. That's for machine workers, maintenance department, and the quality department are the only people that need that key.
Okay.
Yeah. Group leaders, no. Go fuck yourself. 11. Once, if you will. You didn't complete marriage negotiations. Phoenix and I fell back on our marriage negotiations fucking last year.
We did?
Yeah. When we first talked, we were like, you're going to finish school. You're going to be a grandma. I'm going to do chores. And we don't do any of that shit.
You still do chores sometimes.
I guess, when I'm not at work. Especially if I have 2 days off in a row, best believe the whole apartment is getting dressed down.
Yeah.
If I have 1 day off, I might be able to like hit the floor. And the rugs and the dishes, but like if I have 2 days off in a row, the apartment's getting dressed the fuck down. I'm going in. Like that's when I fucking take the vacuum cleaner attachment part and I get all up under like the fucking shelves and behind the cabinets and like that little tight area in between the couch and the wall. Yeah, man, I gets busy if I have two days off in a row.
You should, like, someday I should just film you when you're doing chores. You look so fucking relaxed when you do chores.
You don't know.
Really? That's what I kind of want to bother him. I'm just going to let him clean. I don't know. He looks happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Go sit down. Go watch your fucking football. Play your dress-up video game.
Yes.
That you have. Apparently, us yelling on the podcast is very soothing for the cats. Like, that shit puts them right the fuck to sleep.
Basically. Yeah, oh, I forgot what I was going to say now.
Marriage negotiations?
Right, marriage. Okay, so, but I just want to know, like, what do marriage negotiations entail? Because the entire premise of this relationship is let's play 1940s patriarchy. I just do what you tell me to do. Like, that's not really a negotiation, per se. I don't know.
Jan Loco on the chair said, but you missed under the recliner. And Michael Wright be flexing on me, said, don't talk to that sensitive light-skinned woman like that. Jesus Christ, he be flexing on me.
Respect my light-skinned tears, goddammit. I've said says it to you.
Oh, man. Mr. Under the Recliner. I think that might resonate with me, and I'm going to fucking... for the next 5 years, I'm not going to miss it. You know, like... Holy shit. Boobadoop, skip by. Oh, there's one more, right? Number 12. Dose, if you will. There isn't enough hope.
What the fuck?
Maybe she just really likes the number 12 and said, I'm putting something in there. She just really likes that number.
Okay.
She had to have 12. There isn't enough hope.
But what are you hoping for? I can't put my kids before you. I have to have sex whenever you want. I have to keep the house clean. I have to be feminine. I have to do all the housework. I'm not allowed to have opinions. I'm not allowed to talk back to you. I need to keep track of how many words I say a day so I don't offend you. Remember that fucking video? Remember that fucking video?
Oh, shit. Yeah?
Keep track of how many words you say.
What
the fuck am I hoping? The only thing I'm hoping for is you gonna die, nigga. And we have life insurance on you. That's the only thing I'm hoping for at this point.
I want to do more wife school. I got another one. This shit is fun. This is going to be a wife school episode. It's good. Okay, this one is from my my saved shit. You never know. If you're in my Facebook, the news feed when I'm scrolling, I might have something that you posted saved.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds, should be that creepy. That sounds very ominous.
I learned that word from you.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, ominous. Oh. Yeah, I didn't know that word until I heard you use it. Like, I'd heard it, but I never cared to look it up. But then, like, when you say shit, I'm pretty sure it matters. So it's worth making sure I know what's going on.
Thank you. And you're welcome. Yes, if you wrote it, he might have it saved. Dun, dun, dun.
Skim-a-dum-bum. Nurture your husband with your femininity, but don't cross the line into mothering / emasculating him by being more like a mother than a wife.
Wait, did she just conflate parenting with emasculation?
Maybe.
So parenting is emasculating.
That's right.
Okay.
Boys will be boys.
Without mothers.
This one is 11 points. Number one, uno, if you will. Some men welcome and ask for even public babying. Ignore them. They don't know what they're talking about.
Wait, I'm so confused. I thought I had to listen to everything men say. Am I listening? Am I not listening? What? I am confusion.
What? Just, they don't know what they're talking about. She is so articulately Trumpian. Very much. Like, rhetorically, she is a Trumpansee to the core. All right. Number two, dose, if you will.
I will not.
Ma'am. I have to learn these words because it's better for me at my job if I know them. It says, stay in the submissive role, and this takes care of most mothering mistakes. Bam! What? I bet you have something real light-skinned to say right now. Go for it.
What is the submissive role, exactly?
It's the submissive role.
What does that mean?
It means meet his needs, make his food, set the tizzable, be feminine at all times, outserve every, that's another thing from one of her lessons, a certified wife, if you go out to a restaurant to eat, you have to outserve the server.
Yes. Okay, so that's what marriage negotiations are. That's your safe word.
What? It's safe word hope, and it just wasn't enough for the safe word, B.
The safe word is hope because you are the submissive. All right. I got it now. I got it.
Oh, man. How about they? I hope that my fellow Americans hope for some change in this wife school bullshit.
Woo.
Number three, Trey. Not good at pronouncing that one.
Trace.
Yeah, there's an S at the end. I'm so hesitant on the S. Trace.
Yes.
Trace Atkins.
I knew you were going to say that.
Rough and ready.
Wow. Okay. What? Hillbilly bone.
That's a bone, the bone, shit, bone. Yo. We got a hillbilly bone down deep inside. No matter where you're from, you just can't hide. That's that shit. And Hillbilly Deluxe. All right, number fucking Trace. Specifically, keep your mouth submissive, as most mistakes are made with the mouth. You see, English is one of a couple of languages she speaks, and I don't think she gets that double entendres can really mess up communicating things.
English is her native language. She's from America. She migrated to Europe.
Oh, so she just don't talk good.
She just don't talk. She's from, like, Atlanta.
I think she's from the Louisiana Purchase. Louisiana. It's in the name.
Okay, Louisiana. All right, Louisiana. But yeah, she's American.
Holy shit, because we saw the video of her talking. I seriously thought that she was from somewhere in Europe.
She just drinks a lot when she does videos.
Damn. That's another thing she said about being a certified wife, is you pretty much drink wine most of the day because the kids are at school and the husband's at work. The chores aren't that damn hard. She didn't say it the way I did. All right, number four, Quattro, if you will. Ask for permission to do many things, just to remind you both of your roles. Woo! That's gross, ain't it? You got something real freckled to say right now, don't you?
Hope!
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's horrible. That's
Jan Loco.
Horrible. Oh.
Jan Loco said, "Say who you were reading again, please." This is Ro Elori Cutno, the wife school huckster.
Yeah, if you just go on Facebook and search wife school, you'll find her stuff.
Yeah. The Ro is just R O, Elori E L O R I, and Cutno C-U-T-N-O. It's pretty gosh darn phonetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Five, Cinco. Be especially careful with never telling him to do anything, including eat his vegetables.
Yeah, because if you're in a relationship like this, you don't want that nigga to eat his vegetables. You want him to die so you can get the insurance money.
Phoenix and I be telling each other to eat our fucking vegetables.
We do.
You're like, you forgot to get your cauliflower. Oh, fuck, I did. I forgot to get my goddamn cauliflower.
Yes.
Yeah, we fucking do that. And you're pretty heavy on your asparagus.
I do like the asparagus, although I'm getting into those, I think it's the antioxidant blend now. But it's got the bell peppers and broccoli and cauliflower in it. And it's one of the frozen ones. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that stuff is, it's cheaper because we have to do things that cost money this year.
Yes. Yes.
Shit. Fucking six, or sace, if you will. Be sure not to pat your husband's head like he's a child, in private or public. Honestly, do that to most people.
Well, but also that one's weird to me, because I'm assuming if you're out in public, you're probably, standing somewhere? Based on gender roles, he's probably taller than you, so how the fuck you gonna reach up and pat somebody's head when they're bigger than you? That's just weird behavior.
And also, what if you just like to rub his fucking head? Like, fucking, when my hair is cut bald.
Whoa, what? That is feminine. That is emasculation of the male.
God damn it. It's emasculation of the male for a... remember, we're talking a hetero male, a cisgender hetero male.
Yes.
It's emasculate. It's bad. If a cisgender hetero woman that he's in a relationship with touches his head with her hand.
Well, maybe she should try asking for permission first.
Huh. I bet if you say that in the comments section, you will get fucking blocked and she will send mercenaries to your house.
Probably. Probably. Or if she was to answer, so she'd be like, no, it's actually emasculating and you're mothering him. He just doesn't know what he wants. He's confused.
Yeah, like when my hair is cut fresh and like two or three days later and there's like sprouts back, like Phoenix fucking rubs the top of my head forward because that's the direction it's already going. I don't know what you're getting out of it, but I don't give a shit. Like, you're not... I didn't lose my masculationness.
You did. You did lose it. You lose all the masculinity when people touch your head. Everybody knows that.
Oh, Jesus. Seven, or siete, which is how I prefer to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure not to correct your husband publicly. Private is the best way.
How many times does she have to... Don't correct him. Don't nag him. Don't bother him. Use your words carefully. Count your words so you don't offend him. We get it. Don't talk to your husband. Let him dictate to you.
Again, I'm thinking like, all right, so fucking, he's hungry. If you were to cook him dinner and he ate it, he would become unhungry, and that's correcting his hunger. Don't correct him. Fuck that.
Well, but did you tell him to eat the vegetables on the plate? Did you make vegetables on the plate?
What if you asked him if he wanted vegetables and he said no? And you were like, hey, you know what? From my perspective, vegetables are the only feminine food in this house. That's all I'm fucking cooking, or else I'm a masculine woman and not a certified wife no mo.
I can see that. That's a valid argument. Vegetables can be very feminine. Have you ever seen how dainty julienne carrots are? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, meat is kind of fucking rough. You gotta chew that shit, right? You gotta fucking have a fork and knife. You gotta attack meat with two weapons.
Well, the only thing with meat is the only way it comes in super tiny pieces is if you put it in a grinder and you have, like, ground whatever. Like, vegetables, you could chop them up in these little fucking, like, super thin slices, you know, fucking make a garnish out of it, put some, you know, fucking parsley, sprinkle the parsley on top of your grinder. Dish.
So you have to, like, be brutal with it, like, on an industrial level. And then you ever seen a meat tenderizer? Jesus Christ. Yeah, you have to attack meat with a spiked mallet.
I'm feminine.
Yes.
So when I tenderize meat, I put it in a food processor.
What the fuck is that?
Oh, you didn't know you could do that? That's a thing.
I don't know what a food processor is, man. You know how many things I don't know? You know what it's like being legitimately ignorant and walking around this world?
So, for real, if you have, like the KitchenAid Mixmaster thing, and you have, like, the attachment on that's for, like, beating dough, you can put, like, chunks of meat in there to tenderize it real nice.
Yeah, you sure can.
Yeah, and that's the feminine way to do it.
And a food processor, which apparently exists. Fucking shit. Off to the Ocho, or you might call it eight. No. Oh, I accidentally... Okay, I missed one. Here we go. Be sure not to wipe your husband's face, fix his tie, or anything similarly babying when in public. Yeah, so, you know, if I just sneezed and I didn't notice a huge boogie over my top lip, don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Just let me continue to present myself to strangers like that.
Well, it's the masculine way, really.
Yeah, wait till we get back home and be like, you will not be in my house like this, but at that job interview, fine.
Yes, obviously.
Yeah, because that's going to really help you be head of household.
Yes.
A man that leads.
Yes.
By being boogie face man, you will never get out of the mailroom. They'll boogie hire boogie. You. You'll be blacklisted from matriculation.
Be oogie boogie.
The oogie boogie?
Yeah.
The oogie boogie. What song is that?
The oogie boogie song from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Bingity bang. Yeah, that motherfucker, what was that, like a potato sack?
Yeah, something. Yeah. I don't know, like
a potato sack with Klan hood eyes cut out of it.
Basically.
Yeah. It was a fucking Klan sack.
It was a Klan sack.
Fucking,
See, you have ANSAC, they have a Klan sack.
ANSAC. Isn't that a duck commercial?
Aflac.
Don't give me any flack.
That nigga lost his job, too.
Who?
The Aflac voice guy.
Aw.
Because he made a really inappropriate joke about Chinese people, but yes.
Fuck it. You know what? White men keep saying words.
By the way, it was the voice of Iago, the parrot in Aladdin.
Oh, he was on Mark Maron's program. Holy shit. What the fuck is his name?
Gilbert something.
Gottfried.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. That was a whole lot. That's a very unique fucking voice.
That's one way to put it.
Nobody sounds like that fucking guy.
Nobody.
And Penn Jillette is a fucking asshammer libertarian.
Yeah.
But his episodes with Gilbert Gottfried on his program are funny as shit. They're really good. But only those two episodes. Every other thing he did is no good.
He named his daughter Moxie Crime Fighter.
He likes to talk about how he sits in the bathtub with an iPad on his stomach watching videos. Alright, now let's move along. Fucking, be sure to consistently study masculinity to understand your husband's heart, mind, and instincts. You gotta study masculinity.
Why can't he just tell me what's on his mind?
See, that even the shift in your eyebrows is quite nagging right now. Very naggery.
Naggery?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I get that nagger off my lawn. Okay. All right. No Jews, no Irish, no dogs, no naggers. All right. Not having it. Now, let's see what the holy heck darn is happening here.
It says someone's watching. Okay.
Fallon Matthew of FallonKitty.com. Go to FallonKitty.com, find a post you like, copy the link, post it to your social network, and tag your fucking friends and say, yo, check this shit out. Yes. This little nigga right here is dope. If you're white, say this here colored woman is pretty good.
Don't actually say that if you're white.
That's what Phoenix wants you to say.
That's not what I want you to say.
She did the show prep.
The words colored woman are nowhere in my show prep.
Colored woman.
And we're not even doing my show prep. We're doing your show prep. What the hell? What in the name of gaslighting?
Diaz. Well, you're the one who, when the pilot light went out, you actually lit the gas.
It's nice having heat.
I hate living somewhere where it's on gas. Why can't we just burn coal? Like, if we're going to ruin the planet, let's do it the way that I'm more comfortable with. Fucking 10, Diaz. For things that you want to fix, just talk to your mentor. We are here for life. So don't talk to the person you're married to. Come talk to the wife school huckster for things that you want to fix.
The one, so wait, go to the one who drinks wine all day and can't form a coherent sentence? That's the person?
Yeah.
Okay.
She got you fuckers paying $300 fucking dollars to fucking for her to
I
tell you.
I just want follow-ups. I want to know who paid for this bullshit-ass class, got married, and what their marriage is actually like.
I think that's why she keeps them in a fucking closed-off, comments closed, can't share my shit microcosm.
I think
because,
so.
Yeah, like, you can't. It's like a fucking church. It's like the Mormon church, where one of the things, and this is something I heard from an interview with a Mormon back when I used to listen to atheist podcasts, and they were like, when he was in the Mormon church, they said, anything that anybody says that disagrees with you is wrong, and you need to get away from them and never talk to them again. Hmm. There's a reason why they make fucking rules like that.
Yeah.
After you leave the wine cellar, I want you to go find people you disagree with or people that think that shit we say ain't is be right.
Yes.
And bring us their content. Bring them to us.
Yes. Or, you know, if you get tired, you can just go on Social Dissonance and read the reasonable critiques.
Oh, shit. Look at some of those comment sections. Especially when right-wingers get a hold of our shit. Which I really should just, do that with the William Joseph Jackson account.
Yeah.
And fucking, and join right-wing groups and be like, look at this SJW stuff. Let's go show them what time it is.
Yeah, I'm here for that.
There's one more. And again, she is so into filler. You ready for the last one? This is the big closer. Number 11. Wife school for so much more! ! Blam.
So much more what?
!
I have a keyboard right here with an exclamation point. I don't need her exclamation point.
Yeah, but you have to hit shift to make it do that, or it's automatically a question mark. You see, so your life is naturally a question mark. You go to the wife school and you get exclamation points. Blam!
Exclamation points of hope.
Of fucking mad hope.
Oh no.
Oh man, we got mad hope, B. Hey, we can squeeze in a fucking news story. What sure. do you got? What do you have?
Well, I will read you the headlines, then you tell me what one you want to do.
I know I saw a story that I hope Julie Bendel doesn't fucking see.
Which one was that?
Well, let folks know context. Let's set this up. Julie Bendel is a swerf and a turf, because a swerf is always a turf. Mm-hmm. A swerf is a sex work exclusionary radical feminist. A turf is a trans exclusionary radical feminist. Mm-hmm. I dare you to find one that is not also the other at the same time. Mm-hmm. Julie Bendel is very anti-sex worker. Forget anti-sex workers' rights. She's anti-sex worker. She's right. a sadist, and she wants to see particularly women who are sex workers, she wants to see them harmed. Like, she's just that type of swerf. Mm-hmm. That's why I use the word sadist. Let's get comfortable using these words and not seeing them as hyperbolic. All right, so that's a Julie Bendel. And something she's been doing in recent months is she puts the words sex worker in her, I want to say journal scribbles. Uh-huh. All right. That get posted as if they're legitimate articles in different outlets. And the way she does it is she's like, where are these people who want sex workers' rights? And she just, that's like a throwaway sentence that she'll put in something so that the word sex worker is in there and it hits the algorithms for mm-hmm. people looking up sex workers' rights. So she does that on purpose so that her anti-sex worker propaganda spreads beyond the echo chambers that she already occupies.
Right.
All right, so that's fucking Julie Bendel. And as I was searching sex workers' rights stories, a related story came up, and fuck, I hope she doesn't find it. I hope none of these swerfs find it, but it's on Pink News, mm-hmm. which isn't very small of an outlet. Pinknews.co.uk. And it's a white trans woman sex worker who, like, in like the documentation's there, she knew that she was HIV positive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And infected a client.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, she, like, and she didn't disclose. So, like, man, I hope they don't fucking get hold of that story, because that's that one person, and it's like, I mean, I hate that we have to use the authorities, but we gotta handle that one person in that one situation.
Right.
Like, that is not the whole of fucking sex workers and mm-hmm. people who are actually trafficked that you don't care about because they're trafficked by cops, and you like cops because cops rape and murder and arrest sex workers.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't care that cops do human trafficking of sex workers, including ones that are quote unquote underage.
Right.
Though I would want to say fucking 24 is underage.
Well, they like cops in general, but I mean, if you look at the entire basis of the models they prefer, they're like, we want the Swedish model or the Nordic model. That's very, very heavily police-based, because police are, under that model, supposed to follow sex workers to arrest their clients, but they also have a legal obligation to out you as a sex worker, and under the law, you can't rent a place yeah. if you're a sex worker. So it's like, and they actually, in Norway, the police literally called it Operation Homeless. And they went around to landlords and said, hey, if you don't put her out, you're getting arrested for pimping. But, you know, I'm sure it's really for the good of trafficking victims.
Again, the word is sadist.
Yeah.
Say it. Say they're sadist. It's okay to say it mm-hmm. because it's accurate.
Yeah.
All right. You had a gosh darn story.
Or
you said headlines.
We'll do them and just tell me what one you want to do. A woman was shot and killed months after her ex-boyfriend tried to kidnap their children.
Jesus.
A man tried to kidnap a sex worker.
There
awesome.
You go.
A deputy was arrested after robbing a bank before work, however, was noted as being very cooperative with officials.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, imagine being a cop who robs a bank, and then in your headline story they say, but at least he was cooperative.
He wasn't being a thug.
Who robs a bank before they go to work?
a fucking busy person that uses the whole day.
And a Missouri mayor is arrested after picking a fight with a deputy who arrested his son. Yeah, there's a lot happening. And then, of course, Omarosa, which I thought was going to be more of a story, but it turns out that, you know, Omarosa, because she met Trump when she was on a Celebrity Apprentice, and then she went to work for Trump, and then she got fired, and now she's on, I believe, Big Brother. And some of the people on Big Brother were talking to her, and she's like, no, this administration is not going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. And I thought there was a lot more words coming, but literally all she said was, it's not going to be okay. So,
ah, they clickbaited you.
They did. And, but, yeah, although I'm sure nobody's surprised. Like, no shit, it's not going to be okay.
And folks that are listening to the podcast audio, if you want to check out the Facebook Live, Jan Loco posted a link in the comments section from the Washington Post, where and saying BTW, the wife school is plagiarism from the 70s. So there's gosh darn something there, I tell you what.
Mm.
And Fallon Loco, Fallon Matthews said, have either of you seen Call Me by Your Name?
No.
Is that a documentary? Is that a film? Let us know what's going on there.
Yeah. I'm looking at it. I'm stuck on this robbery story.
Yeah, what's going on with this cop?
All right, so deputy arrested after bank robbery was very cooperative, says sheriff. Rockwell, North Carolina. A Davidson County deputy is accused of robbing the F&M Bank on Main Street in Rockwell Tuesday afternoon. Davidson County Sheriff David Grice and said Jeff Athey. All right, Jeff Athey was arrested around 4 p.m., 4 minutes after... He got arrested 4 minutes after he robbed the bank. Jesus Christ, you're not good at this. Okay. So, Jeff Athey walked into the bank around 4 p.m., was arrested 4 minutes after walking out of the bank that he is accused of robbing with a semi-automatic weapon. According to Grice, he was not on duty during the time of the incident, but he was still employed with the department and scheduled to work later that day. Grice has since told Channel 9 that Athey has been fired. He says, quote, I'm thankful Mr. Athey did not injure anyone during this incident and that he did not resist arrest. Okay. He also told Channel 9 that a deputy spotted Athey at a stoplight and arrested him. Deputies said he was both coherent and very cooperative. Grice also said that Athey never gave an indication of this type of behavior when he was employed as a deputy. Really? You thought that your deputy was a law-abiding man, did you? Okay. I am as shocked and appalled as anyone else at Mr. Athey's behavior, says Grice. Grice added that Athey worked for the department for years, as well... It always comes to light in the end.
Why?
Athey worked for the department for years, and before that worked as a private contractor for Blackwater in Iraq. Law-abiding man, you say?
No, that's an extensive resume, is what that really is.
There is no word yet on a possible motive.
I don't know.
I don't know about y'all, but I assume when someone is robbing a bank, it's because they want money. Nah, no.
And just dancing right back to the archives chat room, quick and or fast. Fallon Matthew, FallonKitty.com. She said, it's a popular white gay film nominated for Grammys, but lots of critique. Mm. Wait, so let us know. Is it available in some sort of streaming or on a DVD, a Blu-ray? Let us know what's going on. And all right, cop story.
All right. So yeah. Grice said we have a lot of employees and agencies in law enforcement. This just reflects badly on everyone. However, Rockwell Police Chief Hugh Bost says he thinks it may have been a cry for help.
What the fuck? Help. Help. It was a cry for help. See, it was fucking an angsty teenager?
It was a cry for hope.
Oh. Oh. That's called a callback. Also know that, like, we're actually, like, real comedians on this fucking show.
So Athey casually walked into the bank and did not hide his face when he walked up to the teller. The teller said, Do you want that out of your checking or savings? I need some information from your account. And then he brandished the weapon and said, give me $1,000. Nigga, you pulled a gun on somebody for $1,000? $1,000?
Yeah. That's all he needed. Probably gambling debt.
Probably. Affy left, and instead of taking back roads, he drove down the main street in Rockwell before a deputy stopped him. Deputies say he was coherent and cooperative. That's the second time they've used that sentence. He was coherent and very cooperative. I wonder if it was a cry for help, says boss. I don't know if he had problems at work, home, medical. You're his boss. You should know if there's problems at work. You work with him. Fine, whatever. So his boss doesn't know what's happening in his own fucking precinct. Or if there were problems at home or medical problems. When we advised him of his rights, he decided not to speak. Never in my wildest dreams did I think a cop would do this. Uh-huh. Ooh.
Welcome to it.
Affy worked in the civil division of the department, and one of his duties was transporting involuntary commitments. Oh, okay. Affy appeared before a judge Wednesday and asked for a court-appointed attorney. The bank will reopen Thursday. Capitalism never sleeps, kids. Yeah.
And Fallon Loco, back to the archive chat space, FallonKitty.com. She said it's on DVD, but she just watched it online via Open Load, which is must be a website, maybe an application.
Yeah.
I will look into it. All right. So that's a good old time, ain't it?
That's fun.
Miss Phoenix McColored Woman?
Yes.
What's your deal?
What's your deal?
I don't know. What's your deal? I thought you was real. Huh? What? So now you're acting like fucking Imani Gandhi got with the Noah. Now you can't stand me? Shit, nigga, you ain't heard me, though. Just another damn Bernie, bro. All up in your mentions in the primary. And then the whack nigga said, I'm scary. But you just a neoliberal. So you can't see those sick flows. Nigga, so I just spit heat and I have to copyright this sick beat before fucking Becky gets it first. But she might have to lay down in a hearse if she has a college roommate that's a black woman that she fucking hates and rubs a toothbrush on her nether regions. So we have to public execution when I see them and lay them down in the graveyard. White people motherfucking play hard. So we gotta play hard back. Nigga, play hard back. White people play hard, so defend yourself, nigga. Play hard back. It's winecellarmedia.com, yes. paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam, patreon.com/ wine cellar media fund. The shit left me doing my fucking hours this week.
You ran out of hope.
Ran out of hope.
I'm gonna stop making hope jokes now, I swear I am.
Ran out of hope and change. It was a cry for help, it was a cry for hope. Alright. Peace out. Facebook Live.